Turning again in God's Word to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, that portion our Brother Sinclair read to us. Let's ask for God's help now as we come to His Word, that the Lord will speak to us this evening, and that we'll be very conscious of God's speaking voice, God by His Spirit ministering His truth to our hearts. That is what we all need, no matter what our spiritual state is, and our standing before God. We need God to come by His Spirit, make His Word live. I feel its power and force in our souls and in our lives. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we're found again before thy truth. Blessed that it is thy truth. It is the word of the living God. And we're not coming to discuss some theory of man. We're not coming to consider some philosophy of some intellect. But Lord, we're coming to the very word of the living God, that which is able to save the soul. And we pray, O God, thou would speak this evening. Speak, O God, with grace and with power to every heart. Give us help in the preaching of thy word. Again, we come to thee, acknowledging our weakness. Acknowledging, Lord, that without thee we can do nothing. Think of how Christ spoke to his disciples and declared this very truth. Without me ye can do nothing. And there was that constant need to draw from Christ. Lord, even as we would come to thy word again this evening, we would ask, Lord, that thou wouldst fill us with thy Spirit. Fill the preacher with thy Spirit. Fill the hearer with thy Spirit. Lord, even as we meditate upon your truth, may your word come with power in our souls tonight. And we ask, Lord, that it might bring forth fruit unto the glory of God. So, Lord, we just hear and answer prayer and do us good now. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we turn to God's word this evening, the passage that is before us is one that is very well known. It is that incident where little children are brought to the Savior that he might bless them. But then the disciples, they intervened and rebuked those that brought these children. However, when the Savior saw this, he was much displeased. He was greatly annoyed and upset. And he forthrightly intervened, he forthrightly stood in, and he firmly dealt with his disciples, saying to them, "Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." This incident is one that is recorded in all of the three synoptic gospels. It is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so the Holy Spirit, by means of repetition, has highlighted this event for our learning and benefit. The Holy Spirit, by repetition, has brought it before us three times so that we will consider these words and we will consider the importance of them and consider what we are to be taught here. When we consider the witty truth that is set before us in this passage, it is not surprising that this event is recorded three times in Holy Scripture. Notice we have here a godly example. In verse 13, we read that the people were bringing young children to him, that is to Christ, that he should touch them. These people, and we should note that it wasn't just parents. In fact, in all of the three gospel records, parents aren't mentioned. And so in all likelihood, these people included parents, grandparents, relations, friends, and carers. But these people had one great concern. And that was to get these little ones in their care to the Savior. That was their concern. These people wanted these children to know Christ's blessing in their lives. They wanted the Savior to touch them, to touch the little ones. They wanted their children, these children that were in their care, to know Christ's blessing upon them. What an example. What a godly example is brought before us here. These people truly cared for these little ones. And this is evidence in the fact that they brought them to Christ. Surely this must be our desire for those the Lord has brought into our lives. This should be our chief desire for our children. It should be the chief desire for our grandchildren and for our nephews and nieces, that they might come to know Christ. That Christ, in a spiritual sense, would put his hands upon them. That they might know the very blessing of Christ in their lives. It is always nice to see children and young people develop and progress. And whether that is physical, academically, or practically, we should always encourage young people. And we should always seek to encourage them to do their best and to be the best that they can in these fields. And seek to help them and assist and support them. But what is most important in every life? The greatest priority is the welfare and the care of the soul. This is what these people were concerned about for these little ones. They were concerned for their spiritual well-being. They were concerned for their souls. Remember what Christ said in Mark 8:36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But you know, these words can also be applied to children. What shall academic achievement profit a child? What shall sporting achievement profit a child? What shall gifts, talents, and qualifications profit a child if at the end of life they lose their soul? How important we get things into perspective and get our priorities right when it comes to the young. How much push and drive there is today to enable our children to succeed and be successful in this world. Parents are taken up with these things. They're all involved in these things. But there's something more important than a child's well-being in this world, and it's their well-being in eternity. And what will it profit if a child is successful in time, but lost in eternity? Let us note as well the godly example of these people. Let it be our greatest desire in regard to the children God has brought into our care, that they come to know Christ and the blessing of His salvation. This must be the continual prayer and desire of our hearts. Then in this passage, we not only have a godly example, we also have a grave error. A grave error. The closing words of verse 13 reveal to us the foolish actions of the disciples. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. His disciples rebuked those that brought them. The mistake the disciples made here was simply this. They thought they knew the mind of Christ when they did not. And it's very important to note this was a mistake that they made. They thought they knew the mind of Christ in regard to these children when they did not. So important we understand this was the mistake they made. We can't fault the disciples here for their sincerity. These men were sincere and genuine in regard to Christ. They loved Christ. And they loved the work of Christ. And so they were filled with sincerity. In all likelihood, they thought Christ was far too busy to be troubled with children. Children are noisy and troublesome. And really the Savior doesn't need all of this bother of little ones. Here they're coming along and they're all of causing all this noise and all disturbance. And really, Christ doesn't need this trouble. You can imagine the disciples shooing the people away and saying, take these little ones away. Take them away from the Savior. Christ is teaching the people here. He's trying to instruct the people. He's preaching the gospel. We don't need this interruption. Take the wee ones away. And that's really how they were behaving. Well, yes, the disciples, they were sincere. In turning the little ones away, they were sincere. But they were sincerely wrong. They were badly wrong. You see, they did not know the mind of Christ. Nor did they seek to find out the mind of Christ. They just adopted a position. And they held this position. And they made this grave error of judgment. What a lesson there is here for the Christian. What a serious lesson there is for the child of God. We must be so careful that we form our opinions and we make our decisions in life not based upon the things which we think, but rather we must always seek to know the mind of Christ. Many genuine and sincere believers have erred and gone badly astray because, like the disciples, they simply failed to seek the mind of Christ on a certain matter. Many good believers, many sincere believers, have gone astray on this point of failing to seek to know the mind of Christ. They just plough on ahead, believing that what they're doing is right, while all along what they're doing is the complete opposite to that which Christ would have wanted them to do. That's what the disciples were doing here. It was the complete reverse, the complete opposite of what Christ wanted. He wanted to bless the children. He wanted to be part of their lives. He wanted them to know Him. They were doing the complete opposite to that which they should have been doing. The great danger is when we fail to seek the mind of Christ, and just follow our own opinions, the danger is that we will not only go astray, but others as well will be sadly affected. Think of how the foolishness of the disciples here was damaging to the children and to those that brought the children. The disciples of Christ are really betraying to these people, Christ doesn't love children. Go away. They were showing that Christ was harsh and unkind. And imagine if that impression had been left upon the minds of these people, these children and the parents that brought them, or the carers or friends that brought them. And this was all because they didn't seek to know the mind of Christ. Child of God, how important it is in life that you continually seek to know the mind of Christ. Because this is what will save us from going badly astray. This is what will save us from going down this same foolish road the disciples went down. We should note here as well the mind of Christ on this very issue of little ones coming to the Savior was not something that was hid from the disciples. This wasn't some dark secret. This wasn't something that the Lord hadn't taught the disciples. Turn back just one chapter to Mark chapter 9, verse 42, and see what it says there. Mark 9, 42. Notice what it says. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, and this is Christ speaking to his disciples at this point, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, they were cast into the sea. Christ. And we're only talking a matter of days here. Christ had already spoken to his disciples about this very issue of bringing children to him. And so if they had simply considered the word that Christ had already spoken, they wouldn't have made this mistake. If they had considered what Christ had told them, they wouldn't have erred here so badly and grievously. Actually, I believe this incident would have been a highly embarrassing one for the disciples. Christ here rebukes these men and tells them they're wrong in front of all the people. Now think about it. Here were these 12 disciples, Christ's top men. And right in the presence of little children, the Savior rebuked them. How humbling. How embarrassing it would have been for the disciples. This is why it is so important in every issue in life. Let me emphasize it again, because it's a very essential point in regard to this passage of Scripture. In every issue in life, we discover the mind of Christ as it is revealed in God's Word. For this is what will protect us and save us from going astray. So we see a godly example here. We see a grave error. However, after the Lord Jesus rebukes his disciples, we also see here that he once again turns the situation around. And he uses this situation to teach the people some very important truth. See what it says in verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. After the Lord Jesus says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. He teaches the people, if they are to be saved, if they are to enter the kingdom of God or of heaven, then they must become as little children. What Christ was saying to these people was, only those that come to him like a little child comes to their parents can be saved and enter his kingdom. Only those that come to him in a similar manner to how a little child comes to its parents can ever be saved and can ever have a place in heaven. This is the lesson that the Savior was teaching that day. The person that comes to him must take on the demeanor and the character of little children. Now we should note here Christ was speaking of little children. Let me emphasize that. He was speaking of little children. We see in verse 16 these children he was thinking of were small enough to be carried. They were children in arms. Luke's gospel actually calls them infants. And so the Lord Jesus has in view here small infant children. Not children that are in their teens, but small infant children. If we are to be saved, this is what we are to be like. Like small infant children. The closing moments then of this meeting, I want us to consider the significance of what Christ says here about little children. And to consider some lessons from little children. What is it about little children that we are to be like? What is Christ speaking of here? And there are many things that we could mention, but I want us just quickly this evening to consider four things about little children. Four things about little children that ought to be found in the heart of the sinner as they come to Christ. Notice firstly with me here that little children are dependent upon their parents. Little children are dependent upon their parents. The little child or infant is completely dependent upon their parents for everything. And this is something that we know well. The small infant that is toddling about depends on their parents to provide for them. If a parent or parents or someone else does not provide food, then that little child will starve. The little child cannot fend for itself. It cannot provide for itself. It needs one older than it. It needs one that is looking after to provide for it. And so little ones are dependent upon their parents to provide for them. We can also say little ones are dependent on their parents to protect them. The small child doesn't understand danger, and so they will go near to the fire or the heater. They don't understand danger. They will just run out onto the road. They don't see a danger as it comes along, and so they're vulnerable, they're weak. They need an adult, they need one to supervise them, to protect them from all sorts of dangers. We know when a little one is born into the home will be adopted and changed, or adopted and changed, because certain measures need to be put in place to protect the little one from hurting itself. We could also say the small child is dependent on their parents for pity. For pity and love and compassion. Psalm 103 verse 13 says, like as a father pitieth his children. The little one needs to know that pity, that love, that is so essential for their nourishment. And it is the parent ultimately that provides that pity. This then is the nature and character of little children. They are completely dependent on their parents for all things necessary in life. Provisions, protection, and even for pity itself. But Christ says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Not unless we receive Christ as a little child, completely dependent upon him for everything that we need in the spiritual sense, we shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Do you see what God, do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying here? If we are to be part of his kingdom, if we are to be saved, and one day go to dwell with him in glory, then we must depend upon him or trust in him, even as a child trusts in their parents for everything. And that's what he's getting at here, primarily, I believe. We must be completely dependent upon him and fully trust in him for all things that we need spiritually. Let me ask you the simple question this evening. Are you looking to Christ even as a little child looks to their parents? Are you trusting in him and wholly trusting in him for salvation? Are you depending upon Christ to provide for your spiritual need? The need of forgiveness of sins? The need of righteousness to stand before God? The need of cleansing from all iniquity? Are you depending upon Christ to protect you from the greatest danger of all, the danger of his wrath and judgment upon you for your sin? Are you hiding in his protection? Do you seek Christ? Say, Lord, save me! Save me! Because I need your protection. Are you depending upon Christ for his pity? That he will have pity upon your soul and show towards you love. It is only such that will be saved and shall have a place in God's heaven. Well, maybe it is the case tonight. You are dependent upon other things. And let me say this. All those that are unsaved, all those that are yet in their sin, all those that reject Christ are depending upon something else. In the hope of salvation. Some are dependent upon their own righteousness. Many in our society are doing this. They feel they are good. They feel they are righteous. And that's what they're depending on. And as they speak about death, as they speak perhaps about the judgment or coming before God, that they hope to present themselves, oh, I'm not so bad. They're depending upon their own righteousness. Others are depending upon religion. They're not coming as little children to Christ, trusting in Him for all things, because they come with their religion. Again, others are bringing with them their respectability, their reputation, who I am and what I've done. Many in our day are trusting upon their reason. Trusting upon rationalism. They think, well, you know, God does not exist. And they reason the thing out. And they cling to science, modern science. And they rule God out of the equation. And they think that when their life ends in this world, well, it'll all just end and that'll be it. And they're depending upon that. That's what they're banking on. Well, listen to the words of the Savior again. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. The only person that shall enter therein is the little child that comes to Christ, asking and seeking Him for all things necessary for salvation. And so we see here little children are dependent upon their parents. But then notice with me, secondly, little children are directed by their parents. That's another thing found with little children. This is something that is evident in this passage. These children did not bring themselves to Christ. Rather, those that were responsible for them, their cares, brought them to the Savior. When children get older and become more independent, they start to make their own plans. And gradually, bit by bit, they make their own decisions in life. And those of us that have had children that are growing up, know that this is when the trouble begins. When they get older and when they start to make their own decisions. But small children with good parents, don't have to worry about making decisions because their parents make all the decisions for them. They decide what their children will eat, what their children will wear. They decide how they will be educated, what friends they will have. And we can think of many, many decisions that parents make for their children every single day. From what they watch on television to what time they go to bed. Small or little children are completely dependent upon their parents for every decision in life. Parents guide them in everything. Now again, let us apply this characteristic of little children to what God or what Christ says here. We are to receive the kingdom of God. If Christ is to be our Savior, and that is what this term means, receive the kingdom of God, it means to receive Christ as your Savior. If we are to receive Christ as our Savior, then we must, as little children, surrender to His direction and His guidance in our lives. We must hear His voice. And we must follow and obey what He says. If we are to enter into His kingdom, we surrender to His rule, His authority. Even as a little child, a little infant, is completely surrendering to their parents' guidance and direction in life. Again, this is what the Savior is bringing us to see. You see, this very thing happened in the conversion of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, before he was converted to Christ, was a proud Jew. In fact, he was so devout and earnest in following the strict regulations of Judaism, that he says this in Philippians 3 and 4. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, there was nobody as devout. There was nobody as religious as the Apostle Paul. He had it all. He was the man that lived the most religious, the most strict, the most obedient, the most pious life. Nobody could boast about personal self-righteousness more than Paul. He had it all. Yet as the Apostle Paul met Christ on the road to Damascus, listen to what Paul said to Christ. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See, how his life was now under the direction of Christ. Paul at that moment, do you know what happened? Paul became just like a little child. And he surrendered to the Savior. What would you have me to do? I'm under your direction. I'm under your guidance, Lord. What do you want me to do? He became just like a little infant, looking to Christ for direction. This is the person who has a place in the kingdom of God. Their life is under the direction of the Lord Jesus. What is it that Christ directs? What is Christ's direction to sinful man? What is it he directs us to do? Well, in Mark 1 and 15, we have one of Christ's earliest sermons. And this is what Christ preached. He said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." Repent ye and believe the gospel. This is his direction to man and sin. This is what he says to sinful man. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And if we are to enter into his kingdom, if we are to be saved, we must obey this direction. And we must repent of our own sinfulness, our own undoneness. And believe the gospel. And believe the Christ of the gospel. Are you as a little child under the direction of Christ? Have you surrendered to his voice in this matter? Just like a little child. Little children are dependent upon their parents. Little children are directed by their parents. Notice thirdly here, little children delight in their parents. Again, this is something that we are familiar with. Small children or infants. And remember, that's what we're speaking about here. Small infant children, little toddlers. They love and delight in their parents. For a little one, there is simply no one as important to them as mommy and daddy. No one is important. How often have small children even argued over whose daddy or whose mommy is the best? You see, in the life of a little child, there is no one they know so intimately as mommy and daddy. And so, in their eyes, there is no one that compares to them. Mommy and daddy are the greatest thing because mommy and daddy are the people they know most intimately. Children, small children, really delight in their parents. And of course, that's a lovely thing for parents with small children to see how they delight, to see how they show their love and affection, and they feel safe and secure in their presence. As Christ then says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." He's also bringing before us this thought that only those that delight in him, even as a little one delights in their parents, shall have a place in the kingdom of God. Only those that truly delight in him, just like that little infant, finds delight and happiness in their parents, can be saved. To delight in Christ is to look upon him as the one who is most precious. The one that you love the most. The one that is of the greatest value to you. That's what it is to delight in Christ. Christ himself explains this in Matthew 13, where he speaks of a merchant man that was seeking goodly pearl. And he says this, "Who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." This man found one pearl that was worth more than all the rest that he had. Such was its value, such was its worth. This one pearl was the thing he truly delighted in. And so he sold all the rest and he put all the money into this one pearl. The Lord Jesus says, this is just like salvation. Christ is the pearl of greatest price because he's the only savior of sinners. Therefore, those that will be saved and one day enter God's heaven will delight in him. Will delight in him. Even as the small child or the little child delights in their parents. In your eyes and heart, is Christ precious to you? Is he precious to you as a parent is to a little child? Do you delight in him? Do you delight in his work? His work of atonement? His work of suffering upon the tree in your place and in your stead. Do you think of that work? Do you think of his blood shedding? Do you think of his agony and his pain? And do you delight in it? Because it was in your place and for you. Do you delight in his worth? His great value, that you have a Savior that ever liveth, a Savior that stands between you and God, and that is able to present you spotless and holy and righteous in God's sight? Do you delight in his worth? Do you delight in his willingness? His willingness to receive sinners. His willingness to receive all that come to him. His willingness to manifest his love to all that seek him. 1 Peter 2:7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, if you believe in Christ, he will be precious. He will be such a delight to you. He will be as precious to you, if not more precious. And that parent is to the little one. Your soul be delighted in him. Those that will enter God's kingdom, like the little child, the child that delights in their parents. Like the little child that is directed by their parents and that is dependent upon their parents. Notice one other thing here. And that is, little children desire to be with their parents. They desire to be with their parents. There is nothing as fearful and as dreadful for a little one than the thought of being separated from their parents. It is the most dreadful thing for a little child. Separated from their parents, maybe in a supermarket or in a public place. And the parent becomes frantic as the little one is lost. But the little one is also frantic. And they cry hysterically. And they're so afraid because there's been separation. Equally, there's nothing that brings more comfort and reassurance to a small child than being reunited with their parents. After a little one has been separated from their parents for even a short time, there is that sense of excitement and joy as once again they see mummy and daddy. I believe this is also a thought that we can draw from these words of Christ. A thought that we can draw from what Christ says here. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Those that shall enter the kingdom of God are those that desire to be with Christ. Desire to know him. Desire to live in his presence. The true and genuine believer has a desire to be with Christ their Savior. They have this desire to be with him. The Apostle Paul, speaking in Philippians 1:23, says, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Think of what Paul is saying there. He's in a strait. It means he's in a difficult spot. He wants to go and be with Christ. That's what his heart's desire is. To be in the presence of Christ. And to know him in the most intimate and glorious way. And to live ever before his face. That was his greatest desire and longing. To be with Christ. Let me ask you, believer, tonight. As you live in a world of sin and wickedness, a world of misery and sorrow, do you have a desire to be with Christ? Do you think about the return of Christ as something glorious, something exciting, something that is thrilling to your soul? Do you think about leaving this world of sin and all of its troubles and wickedness as a delightful thing? We ought to think this way. We ought to be like a little child that is lost and that has found its parents. Filled with joy and delight at such a thought. Oh, the little child desires to be with their parents. And so will the true Christian. In closing this evening, let us consider, have you ever taken the position of a little child? Have you ever taken the position of a little child and cried to Christ for salvation? Even as a little child. The little child cries out of a sense of their own need. They're not ashamed to cry. A little one's not embarrassed about crying. A little one's not embarrassed about expressing their need. They do it openly and unashamedly. Sinner, this is the place that you must come to. To the place where before God you simply cry to Him as a sinner. Acknowledging your need of Him. And Him alone as your Savior. I trust tonight that you will become even as a little child. If you've never been saved, if you've never trusted in the Savior, I trust tonight that you will become even as that little child and enter into the kingdom of God. Know what it is to be saved. May God bless His truth to our hearts for His own name's sake. Amen.